in southeastern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny, breezy, and warmer with a high of 68. The wind from the southwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 44. The wind will be out of the southwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour early, shifting to the northeast after midnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 65. The wind out of the east at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms are likely, the low 55. Friday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday morning, then partly sunny with a high in the low 70s. Friday night and Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a low Friday night in the upper 50s and a high Saturday in the mid 70s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 50s to the mid 60s. It was cloudy in northern and central sections, sunny in the south. Rockford reported 53 degrees at the top of the hour. O'Hare, 54. Bloomington, 61. Mattoon, 66. Carbondale, 65. At South Bend, 54. 64 at Lafayette, 66 at Indianapolis, 65 at Terre Haute. Willard Airport reported 66 degrees at the top of the hour, a cloudy sky. The dew point, 36. The relative humidity, 32%. The wind out of the southwest at 28 with gusts to 33 miles per hour. The barometric pressure, 29.78 and falling. And at 12:39, 65 degrees on the campus of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The sky is cloudy.
Bills to eliminate federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting are before the Senate right now. Since more than 70% of those dollars goes directly to local public broadcasting stations, this action will have an immediate impact on WILL. Let your senator know how you feel about these proposed cuts. Contact information is at will.illinois.edu. For additional information, go to 170millionamericans.org.
The Cherry Orchard Village apartments lie just south of the abandoned Chanute Air Force Base near Rantoul, and like the base itself, Cherry Orchard has seen better days. Now, the two landlords who manage the eight-building complex are charged with failing to maintain it to the detriment of its tenants, mainly migrant worker families. Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers has been collaborating with the investigative journalism group CU Citizen Access. He reports on the legal battle to bring Cherry Orchard up to code.
Many of the people who have lived at Cherry Orchard, like 51-year-old Hermelinda Cruz, work for agricultural companies. Cruz arrived in Rantoul from Texas with her family 8 years ago. She moved to Cherry Orchard in 2009 with four of her children.
Because I separated from my husband, I didn't have anywhere to go, so I left town because I didn't have enough money to rent in the city.
Cherry Orchard is in an unincorporated part of Champaign County, right outside of Rantoul. Cruz says she first learned about Cherry Orchard from a radio advertisement, like this one played last week on Rantoul's WKJR.
Está buscando donde rentar. Apartamento de dos recámaras grande, $500.
The commercial doesn't mention Cherry Orchard by name, but it says comfortable apartments are available for families at a very good price. Studio apartments for $300 and two big bedrooms for $500. During the 45-second ad, the phone number for Cherry Orchard landlord Bernard Ramos is mentioned four times. While Bernard and his father Eduardo run Cherry Orchard, it's owned by Bernard's sister, Evelyn. The family has owned more than 30 properties in Champaign County and has faced hundreds of code violations. Several of these properties, including Cherry Orchard, have been under foreclosure, according to the Champaign County Recorder's Office. One ongoing violation alleges the father and son failed to legally connect sewer and septic systems for 6 out of 8 apartment buildings at Cherry Orchard. They had a bench trial scheduled this morning in Champaign County Court. State health inspectors first discovered sludge seeping from a septic system into a field back in September 2007. 3.5 years later, the Ramoses are still accepting new tenants. Cruz says once she moved in, the Ramoses raised the rent and would occasionally shut off the water for hours at a time during the summer.
A veces que nos íbamos a trabajar en la mañana, a la labor.
Sometimes, when we'd wake up for work in the morning, we'd wash up and make lunch for work with water collected the night before. My coworker's daughter worked and stayed with us during her summer vacation, and she'd get angry. Mom, why isn't there any water? And we'd complain to Bernard, and he'd say, take a shower early, because at 10, I'm cutting it off.
Cruz says she and her family finally moved out last December with assistance from Julie Pride, the administrator with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. A month after she helped the family move, Pride organized a meeting with different state agencies to get remaining Cherry Orchard tenants into safe, permanent housing.
Our solution is simple. Help the people who want to move out of there, move out of there. Even if we help people move out, that's only helping the situation right now. But as soon as people come back in there, we're going to have the same issue if the sewers aren't fixed.
Okay, let me see. I have a whole Cherry Orchard file here.
A couple of months later, Pride is still keeping an eye on Cherry Orchard from her office.
Look at my crazy-looking desktop.
She looks over photos of the property saved on her computer.
The wall was white, but what you see behind there, that's all roach feces covering a wall. Here's another air conditioner vent that was just covered up with plastic. And then what is holding the air conditioner in is actually duct tape.
When we tried to call Bernard Ramos for comment, Ramos referenced a sign he has in his front yard that says, no media dogs allowed. He then shouted several expletives and hung up the phone. Pride says it took a while after the January meeting to get tenants out of Cherry Orchard and into permanent homes. She says she wishes the county could take swift action to address problems at the apartment complex, especially after health inspectors identified issues with the sewer and septic systems 3.5 years ago. But because the property is in an unincorporated part of Champaign County, Pride says it's difficult to enforce zoning ordinances.
Had this have happened in Champaign or Urbana, the city can go in there and take care of it. There's codes that they work under, and they can take care of it. Had it have happened in Rantoul, they could have gone in and taken care of it. But because it was in an unincorporated part of the county, no one really had authority over it except for Champaign County Zoning and Planning, and they didn't even have any ordinance.
My name is John Hall. I'm the Director of Planning and Zoning for Champaign County. I did send Cherry Orchard Apartments first and final notice regarding a list of violations that we had evidence on based on our amended nuisance ordinance.
The county amended its nuisance ordinance last year because of living conditions at Cherry Orchard. Hall says the modified ordinance includes a dozen criteria that a building must follow to be considered safe, including access to clean drinking water, plumbing that meets state health codes, and not using extension cords to provide power to a dwelling unit.
Several of those conditions exist, or at least we have evidence that they exist, at the Cherry Orchard Apartments. They can all be verified by means of inspection by qualified individuals, and that's what I talked about with Mr. Ramos.
Hall says buildings in Champaign County can now be considered dangerous well before they're ready to collapse. He adds that it would take a lot of repairs to bring Cherry Orchard up to code. While the outcomes of the nuisance and sewage violations are still pending, the Ramoses legally can and still do rent out the property. This, as a wave of migrant workers is expected to arrive in Rantoul this year, looking for jobs and housing. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
This story was reported with the help of CU Citizen Access reporter Pam Dempsey. To view a slideshow and timeline of Cherry Orchard, visit will.illinois.edu and cu-citizenaccess.org. It's 12:46. Greece is being forced to sell state assets, mostly real estate, to keep from defaulting on its international sovereign debt. The sell-off was part of an agreement reached with the European Union after Greece asked for easier repayment terms. The popular media and radio talk show hosts have talked of the country being forced to sell off the Acropolis or some of the Aegean islands, but both have been ruled out. Joanna Kakissis reports from Athens.
It's a spring evening, and the tree-lined walkway below the Acropolis is filled with people. One is Eleni Moscha, a 22-year-old university student. She's heard that German politicians want Greece to sell the Acropolis and some islands to pay off more than $400 billion in debt.
I don't think that we should sell things like our islands or ancient stuff, because this is our national heritage and it's really important for tourism as well, because if we sell this, we have nothing, practically.
Economist Yannis Tournadas calls talk of an Acropolis sale silly, bad-taste humor. He's been promoting selling less controversial land for years. Lots of it is ripe for investment, he says.
We talk about real estate in certain parts of the country, either close to the sea or in mountains or in cities, which is totally underdeveloped now. It stays idle.
Polls show Greeks are divided about selling state assets. The government cut spending and hiked taxes in exchange for international loans last year to avoid default. But the cost-cutting has also worsened the recession and increased unemployment. For NPR News, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Athens.
Support for today's broadcast comes from 40 North 88 West, presenting the 6th Annual Boneyard Arts Festival, April 7th through 10th. With venues throughout the county, the festival, in conjunction with the local business community, is a celebration of music, dance, arts, culture, and theater. Information on this year's festival is at 40north.org.
Sihem Ben Sidrin is a Tunisian human rights activist. She says the protests that ousted a dictator were a great victory, but not a complete one.
We cut the head, but the body of the animal is still alive.
The animal meaning the old regime.
Yes.
I'm Robert Siegel, where the Arab Revolt began, in Tunisia. Later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 6th of April, 2011. It's the birthday of the Shoshone woman Sacajawea, born in Idaho sometime around 1789, kidnapped at the age of 10 by the Hidatsa tribe, sold into slavery, bought by a French-Canadian trapper who made her one of his two wives. And when Lewis and Clark hired him to guide them to the Pacific, Sacajawea was part of the package. She was a teenager, she had a two-month-old baby on her back, and she could speak half a dozen Indian languages. She also knew which plants were edible. And when Indian tribes saw the Lewis and Clark expedition approaching, and they saw there was a woman with a baby, the Indians assumed they were peaceful, and this saved Lewis and Clark a lot of trouble. When the trip was over, Sacajawea received nothing for all of her work. She died in 1812 of a fever at the age of 23, and 8 months later, William Clark legally adopted her two children, Jean-Baptiste and Lisette. It's the birthday of Merle Haggard, born Bakersfield, California, 1937. And it was on this day in 1895, Oscar Wilde was arrested in room 118 of the